has one request, and that is that perhaps we should not confine funding and grant funding only to technical support, but also to grant support directly to social housing institutions, where the social housing institutions, if the social housing regulatory program is satisfied with that institution's capacity, would source service providers to enhance their own capacity, as opposed to only going through a procurement method that is held at the centre by the SHRA. The Social Housing Foundation and the Social Housing SDSH, the support program for social housing, has shown wide-scale success on both the technical support and the grant program. Maybe this should be continued into the SHRA. My next point, Chair, is that we think that all the delivery agents, whether these delivery agents are social housing institutions or others, if they benefit through public funding, all should be monitored, as opposed to what appears in the legislation to be far more a magnifying glass only on SHIs, but other delivery agents seem to not be under such close scrutiny. But if public funding is enjoyed by any agent, the same measure should be used on all. Chair, on section 11.3e, we feel that insofar as the compliance check of the SHRA, we think that this should be made in under the contract that is signed between the social housing institution benefiting from the restructuring grant and the social housing institution on the other hand, so that the depth and regularity of the inspection is spelled out in the contract. And we recommend that those inspections should probably be annual, because they are really a compliance audit, as opposed to what might become a more paralyzing type of inspection if it's too regular, because most social housing institutions have to deal with auditors and auditors with other compliance issues, and especially municipal-owned entities who are required by the Auditor General and their shareholders to comply with such a thing. Chair, under 11.3F, in regard to the intervention, and also in regard, quoting from the bill, of taking the necessary steps to rectify any shortcoming, we would just like to request the committee to consider making sure that the legislation is very precise in its language as to what intervention means and as to what taking the necessary steps to rectify might also mean. And once again, we go back to the issues of maladministration and our recommendation that it should be material in nature as opposed to something that can be dealt with on a more administrative basis. And once again, we do feel that before the start of the SHRA Act, that there should be a resolution of the council deeming whatever has occurred to be maladministration, and that would run with moving. So in regard to 11.3J, it's proposed that this clause should in fact be removed and be requested. And I think on this one, I think we're almost pleased with the committee that this be removed. And our reason for that is that the provisions of what is required in law for a sound lease agreement, which is in compliance with law and in compliance with the common law, is really very, very well catered for in other legislation. And we would recommend that rather than requiring that any changes in the lease agreement be authorized by the SHRA, that rather what the legislation spells out is that a good lease agreement must have the following minimum requirements, and then what the SHRA then does is does a compliance check to make sure that that lease contract is complying with minimum requirements as often as the SHRA finds it necessary. And Chair, to give you a small amount of further background.
And taking longer than you have given. Thanks, Lola.
Thanks, Chair. Okay, Chair, in regard to the next piece of the section 11.3K, we also feel that this section should also be removed from the bill, because we feel that before grants are awarded and before a contract, before a project is awarded grant money, that it would have already gone through that process. And then, Chair, to try to wrap up, in regard to the powers of intervention of the regulatory authority, both in regard to this and the former section that I've just gone through, we would like to recommend that a large part of what's written into the legislation should rather appear in the regulations to the Act rather than in the legislation itself. We also feel that before the Regulatory Authority Act, that the steps and the time frame for the action should also be spelled out. And I think this would be good practice so that if there is maladministration, so that the SHI is not paralyzed, that the SHRA acts within a certain stipulated period of time. Chair, I think on this one as well, I have indicated, or Nancy has indicated previously, that because social housing institutions and their projects will continue to be funded by various sources of funding, not only by the structural grant, that some of the provisions that are written into the legislation, although well-intentioned, would be difficult to implement, especially when projects are funded by other sources of funding other than the restructuring grant. And so some of the very heavy powers, like the transference of will actually be difficult, and perhaps we could soften it a little bit and remove it from the legislation. And then, Chair, to try to wrap up, obviously, this has all been given to the committee, maybe a final 3 points. The even-handed issue...
I think the committee will agree with us that we should give you more time to finish up because you are encompassing all these issues. So, just go ahead.
Okay. How much time do I have, Chair?
We'll give you 5 more minutes.
5 more minutes. Chair, I've already recommended that the legislation should be even-handed. So if you look at section 12.13, where we specifically ask that the different delivery aids be handled by the legislation and by the regulation in an even-handed way. Chair, our overriding comment you read in on the top of page 5 is the comment about shifting to regulation. In regard to the accreditation of social housing institutions, we are just pondering what will happen with social housing institutions that have already realized and enjoyed public funding. Will this legislation be retrospective? Would it especially be retrospective if the project funded is outside of the restructuring zone, or if the project is an informal sale project as opposed to rental and carpet housing? We don't voice an opinion either way. We would be happy with both. We would probably be happier if it doesn't claw back retrospectively. However, we would like institutional housing projects to be recognized as social housing projects. And then, Chair, in regard to the functions of social housing institutions, the clauses under Section 14 are supported by NASHU in their entirety. You'll read in our submissions that we just have 5 fairly minor language amendments that we would like to recommend. We also especially support the legislation's intention to create joint service delivery agreements between social housing institutions and municipalities, whether those institutions are municipal-owned entities or not, because then it can create some form of a contractual relationship and that those should take the form of service delivery agreements. In regard to the management of social housing institutions, we would like to request the committee to, I think, tone down and make less invasive, if you especially look at Section 51B, where the Social Housing Regulatory Authority effectively steps in the place of the board and makes what we would consider to be operational decisions about the people that staff, who that staff member should be, the period of time that it should take to replace the staff member, etc. And perhaps what would rather be in place is a more broad-ranging clause where the regulatory authority should be calls the board of directors to account and give a report. On the reporting of social housing institutions, we just question whether the Promotion of Information of Access to Information Act would always be applicable, especially when the source of the information is a social housing institution, not solely funded by public funds. And we would just request that, rather than making it too broad-ranging, which could be misunderstood sometimes by the public officials responsible for administering the act, that when information is released into the public domain, that the permission first be sought from the social housing institution. On the financing of social housing, in Section 18, Chair, we would also like to appeal, and this I think is an important one, because this is where we feel that not adequate substance has been given in the legislation to the funding of social housing programs, whereas, as I said earlier in the national submissions, the substance given to the regulation and the compliance is very heavy. So on Section 18, we would really enjoy it and appreciate it that this section of the legislation gets beefed up quite substantially. On section 19.2, and I'm wrapping up now, Chair, on section 19.2, criminal acts and the creation of offences, we recall that when the rental housing tribunals were established, a similar kind of problem was encountered. And what we would like to propose is that offences don't need to be created through this legislation, but that if there is a criminal offence created by any party in an SHI, that those charges be made against the person committing the crime under existing legislation, not necessarily we don't think to be duplicated in this act. Then, under the general issue for clarity, we'd just like to understand better who might include other delivery agents, and to what extent will those other delivery agents that are non-SHIs be regulated under this legislation. Secondly, we'd like to seek clarity. Will the Social Housing Regulatory Authority have jurisdiction in regard to SHIs that have not benefited from the restructuring grant or are outside restructuring zones? Our second last point, Chair, is that in regard to the budget for the regulatory authority, the SHROC, we did read in the memorandum that the 3-year medium-term budget approved by National Treasury, which the sector and national members had been under the impression was subsidy budget, is in fact going to use fund the operational overhead and staff costs of SHROC as well as subsidies. And we'd really like to, I think, to really see once again that the operational costs be funded through a different source, perhaps the existing source that's currently used, for example, to fund the SHS, and that the restructuring grants, the capital subsidies, the service delivery and house production get preserved and protected, because after all the budget is used by certain use, and any of them very, very moderate and very, very conservative. Finally, Chair, we have given extensive comments. I hope that they have been constructive. It is absolutely our intention that they are constructive, and we welcome any further engagement between the committee as well as the department and nationally if we feel that that's necessary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Nasha. Members, that is the proceeding by Nasha. But what is very clear that their recommendations are far reaching. I just want to ask them, didn't they have an opportunity to engage with the department before the legislation comes before us? Why were these issues not raised with your engagement with the department?
Chair, indeed, I can confirm that we did have an opportunity to engage. In fact, the comments that I have read or presented to the committee are the comments that we prepared in November last year after the bill was first published in, I think, July, I can't quite recall. So these are the same comments, but because we realised that this is possibly the last opportunity, because we support the committee's pace of wanting to pass this, get this legislation passed, because it's the last opportunity, we thought that let us present the comments and make sure that we don't miss anything and do it more. But I can confirm that we have seen consulted, and these comments are pretty much in line with what we have seen today.
I can see in terms of your proposal, you are proposing that above the restructuring plan, there should be an operational budget allocated as well.
Chair, yes. We could be wrong. We're not sufficiently knowledgeable about the inner workings of the budget. But our understanding has been that the operational budget that is allocated to National Housing Agency is already approved in the NCS, and that the approval by Treasury for the 3-year restructuring grant budget that's in the memorandum was additional funding specifically for the restructuring grant. So that's why we would just like to make sure that the operational funding that's already in existence is retained, as opposed to going out of the capital.
Thank you. presentation. That is very much, I think it's going to give us a way forward, a clear way forward. But my question is this. The presenter has raised that the institutions that are enjoying the funding should be subjected to monitoring the information. But my question was around the education. You should be putting into this thing that it can be accommodated. They think about the inequality to also the benefits of the head to the provision of experience in those institutions. How do they see it? And then the second question is around the role of the net meeting of Kenya and the cooperative. If they look at those institutions, do I think they should be able to see this process? Thank you.
Yes, there are some pretty far-reaching proposals in this submission. And following up on your question, Chair, and I presume you can take it up to the department, if many of these on the face of it sound very legitimate, you certainly need to look at it. So I'm just wondering if these were submitted to the department before the work was done. I'm curious as to the reasons why the department didn't consider certainly some of these coming into the job program. Before we table the best issue we need to take up with the department. Just in terms of the prospectivity of the community, to my knowledge, no piece of legislation applies to the sector. So certainly as far as the best issue of the community is concerned, I think, although we will see the legal clarity, it's not something that maybe we will be able to do. But Jay, there's a lot of food for building and we as a committee will certainly look at it and if we need to do this, we will be in touch with you to do that.
Thank you. Chair, in regards to monitoring and evaluation, the way that NASHU would answer that question is that for social housing institutions that are delivery agents and implementers and members of NASHU that are not municipal-owned entities and therefore registered under the MFMA, it is true that they will not be monitored and evaluated under the MFMA. However, the municipality will have a much closer business relationship with those implementing agents through the service delivery agreement that is proposed in the legislation and which we support. For social housing institutions that are municipal entities, and there are now a few of them who are active and who are members of NASHU as well, it's unavoidable that they will in any event be monitored under the MFMA. And for those members of NASHU, there is, I would call it, a capacity risk with having to comply with compliance monitoring under the MFMA as well as compliance monitoring under other legislation. And that I think is also lending us towards some of our recommendations here that we must restrict the monitoring to what is necessary. Because we all know that in this compliance and monitoring environment that we work in and protecting public funds, that the cost of compliance and monitoring and the capacity required to do it quite substantial. We would not want to see our members be paralyzed in compliance to take their eye off the ball, which is for the new services and housing. In regard to emerging entrepreneurs, it is true that to my knowledge the department's intent, I missed it, maybe should rather comment, is that although it's not specifically catered for under the legislation, there are other ways, and the MFMA and the FMA are two good examples of where emerging entrepreneurs do have to be supported in the procurement and the supply chain management process of social housing institutions if they enjoy the public funds. Not only that, but some of the members of NASHU are organizations created by
those are two comments. I think the comments, the final two comments, are comments. I don't think they require a response from us.
I think it's as members do have other engagements.
There's a proposal about the cost of municipal services in this council. Is the intention here that the cost of services after the installation, which means the actual usage thereof, in this council, or are you in fact referring to the installation cost of municipal services?
Chair, my colleagues, Joel and Aviv, I would like them to comment on that. But I would like to at least say this, is that in national view, any intervention that will make the cost of the end product cheaper to the consumer is what must be supported by the legislation. So I wouldn't confine it only to the consumption, but I would also include the installation. Although obviously the consumption is much more important than the installation, because the installation is the one that costs. Yes, installation, for example, of separate meters is very expensive, and where that can be funded through a grant that would be. You see, Chair, to say one or two more sentences on this. Everybody agrees that because in our urban areas and in the city where most of the social housing production is occurring, because the poor are being pushed out, even out of inner cities, that all three spheres of government agree that we must find a way of getting the product to the ground more affordably. Provincial and national governments put national members under a lot of pressure to produce the product at a cheaper price. But and all the officials in government agree that discounts are good. But what we find is that the officials, the administrators, can't find a way, a safe way, to give up those discounts because there's not sufficient provision in the legislation. So that's what that's about. But subject to my colleague's further comment, we are not only talking about the installation, we are more importantly talking about consumption.
And I think it's part of the discussion of services, it's part of the arrangement for the cools of those services and programs that we're responsible to look into the relationship and energy that is approval. You know, the top-up provider, we say that's great, you know, the top-up provider and we know the activity for the challenge to happen. But there are a lot of support packages that have to forthcoming from the public sector, which could make a change, which could make
That would be great. In fact, we weren't sure how much opportunity we would get, and we see in our coverage that we have actually requested the committee to consider a presentation by itself. But in that power presentation that's on there, if the meeting can go to about page 14 or 15, it will take you through all of our member organizations. I think on this one, I must hand over to our president. But it's also the first paragraph there that the person has rather than that said. Either yourself, Joe, or you can go to the
think you found this after COVID. What about you? Located in this part of the country, especially in the data for the current to assist the benefits around this region of a state to also help with providing it to the entire state.
And we can see that the proposals are food for thought, but they also perish. That's fine. Thank you. Following presenter, this allows the foundation. Come over here.
Good morning, members of the committee, invited guests. I would like to thank the opportunity to be able to say a few words today. We were asked to give a context, so therefore we would comment on the history of how the thing evolved, what our responses were as well as the chair, what is currently happening. Comment on the functions of the game, but most importantly, explain how we understand the phasing in and the phasing out in this process. So, I hope everybody knows who we are, but we are established in 1997. We are a section, Section 3 public entity. Over the years, we've provided communication, research and policy development expertise to the sector. But you must understand that social housing, in relation to housing policy, is too far from the institutional facility that we have in the Housing Act and Chapter 6 of the Housing Code. We have also established a major network internationally, and therefore introduced world-class practices. Of note here, Shepherdson, the institutional facilities were developed in the absence of a well-constituted policy framework. So therefore, it was congruent with construction practices, open working, fundraising, financial modeling, and packaging. And there were reluctance from other players, private sector and then to participate in the social housing process. Provinces were also planning their budgeting constitutional subsidies, but the approval process has always been reactive, just waiting for projects to participate. And government was also concerned that significant investment left largely in the hands of external entities where there is no regulation. And projects submitted not always align or conform with the ICT. But in terms of response, therefore, the FHM program was running, but was also support from the European Union. A program management unit was established and lately managed by the National Department of Housing. It continues this focus on capacitation of institutions to both the deliver. Tools were developed and technical support on an ongoing basis was provided and continued to support all the spheres of government. government. However, in terms of research, there was specific research commissions that covered the following areas of concern: a regulatory framework for the social housing sector, also the development of a financial model, the strategy to attract a private sector, a way of dealing with municipalities and aligning programs to the IDP, and looking at the different grants that could then be established. Together with the National Department of Housing, we have a team of specialists, some of which were international experts, as well as practitioners in South Africa, to look at the shortcomings that we have, how we can address them, and developing a policy for social housing. And I think the fruit of that work now before you, there is now a deal in front of the portfolio committee that we have to look at. And the elements of the deal are very important part of the minister breaking new ground position. The policy was adopted in late 2005. In the earlier days, the deal to address the formation of a regulator and a compliance body. There are five types of grants that have been proposed over and above institutional subsidies. But the most significant is the restructuring capital grant, which provides subsidies in line with inflation, CIS, and construction index. Also, looking at the provision of restructuring zones and restructuring zones. We are also looking at the internal process, and the process and cycle that we are working within. There are also roles and responsibilities that are outlined in the team. Looking at what is currently happening, we should call it internal trade in social housing, that we have an internal social housing program, and we are also looking at setting around any institution. While the deal is undergoing an action and the process of establishing the regulator is in place, the department mandated us to implement the internal social housing program. The budget for the program for the past year was 107 million, and that money has been dispersed for commission. And for the current year, 180 million, business plan has been finalized in that respect. And for 2008-2009, 250 million. In terms of the turnaround strategy, there are a number of institutions that are facing real problems. There is a specific intervention which is championed and led by the Department of Housing to confirm what the problems are, to look at solutions, and implementing those solutions and evaluating the process. But this work is also vital in the sense that a sense of what interventions could be expected from the regulator. I will not go much on this slide, but those are the number of functions outlined in the bill for the regulator authority. What it does raise, however, is whether or not dealing with the reality and the data in terms of phasing the team, what we are looking at and what we are proposing is that phase one, which is almost what we are in now, the NDOA continues to take the lead and sponsor social housing development. And the Social Housing Foundation continues to implement the program, while a new entity, the SHRA, informed. It seems that it will take 8 months to allow for complete development of the regulation, to make sure that there is no disruption, but when the institution is there, it will be up and running, and it will not necessarily affect the sector negatively. There will be clear communication to the sector as to what to expect, from the different players, and therefore we are not looking for a knee-jerk reaction. And I think one of the last two slides, that in terms of differences, that we see that the NOA will continue to deal with policy and to develop strategies. And more people responsible for funding. The ASAP should be responsible for regulation, which entails registration and accreditation, compliance and legal issues, interventions and general alarm. And the Social Housing Foundation should still be concerned about programs, research and capacity building. Finally, the issue to be considered, that in terms of facilities around policy strategy, that includes the new rental housing strategy, legal issue program. And in terms of programs, just to make sure that the programs extend beyond social housing, there are issues around community residential units in terms of programs. And there are major issues that are emerging around Kenya.
Thank you very much. The challenge is that we don't have the copy of the presentation. Can we appeal to you that you give the copy to the committee so that we can make copies available for members so that when we do the submission, when we work on this legislation, we're able to continue to do that. But then we also understand why you don't have that. Members, let's engage with what we see in front of us. What I do see is that you are saying that Social Housing Foundation is still right now. This is interesting. Saying of get anything out while you are creating an environment for building of the trust.
So I'll start with this point of view. And I got an impression from the last two slides or so that there's going to be a dual role for both SHS as well as SHRA. My impression was also that SHS is going to be very tough. So there's just some clarity on that. I was also hoping that Ryan would share some of his wisdom with us by addressing some of the questions that, or rather the submissions that were raised. In terms of, for example, institutions that will fall outside the SHRA, and how, what role they're going to be playing in terms of both funding as well as monitoring, and that sort of thing. And there were one or two other issues that perhaps we could shed some light on. And this one last one, he referred to budget for the MTS period, which is the offline year. And I'm curious as to the use of those budgets. Is that specifically for SHS, where you see them going forward, or will those budgets be set for setting up SHRA? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. I think on the first question around the different roles, the issue really that we are emphasizing is that, yes, there are different roles and it could well be different players. However, what should be avoided is confusion in the sector. In the phasing in period, yes, the SHS has a specific role to play to make sure that when SHRA is formed, it will run and there are no unnecessary disruptions. In terms of phase two, that is the decision that rests in the National Department of Health as to what it's led to see. In terms of program implementation, whether the SHF continues as an agency of government to implementation, or whether the SHRA does the regulation and the implementation. But what I wanted to raise is that it would be a sensitive issue to look at whether we can have a referee and a player. But really, the whole story is a think the other point that we'd like to make is that it would be a major disservice to create confusion now in the sector. We have to allow current programs to continue and make sure that that momentum is kept, so that when the regulatory authority is in place, we have not unduly affected the running of the program. Institutions not receiving the structure in grant cover. In my view, I don't think that it was suggested that it should not be regulated. The question of funding. But clearly there are priority areas that have been identified nationally, where the restructuring zones have been declared, and that is where the restructuring plan will be awarded. However, the institutions that are not in those areas will still be receiving public funds, but I would then expect them to feel accountable to the province and also be accountable to the NHRC. In my view, I don't see that institution that would have to have been free only because we did not receive the structural plan. The budget that we have in the interim, let me talk about the experience that we have now. We had 107 million rand of interim social housing program. A small operational budget was set aside to make sure that the program could be implemented. However, it's not even at the level of funding the effect itself. It was just to make it possible to get additional resources to make sure that we have the program done. The way I understand it is that social housing program should actually be budget, which would be different to, which should be different to the budget awarded to the institution for operational purposes.
And the other one is about how would you rate the social housing situation in the case of are they the profit makers? They should make profit. So I'm trying to say, do you think that they fall under the kind of sector one? I don't know. If you take that, explain that to me. And then you raise the issue of the resilient player. I think we need to explore this more, because I want to understand clearly what does that mean in this context of the SARS. And then the other agencies, what could be those agencies to deliver the agency and say to deliver this agency in your view?
Thank you for the question. In terms of the PFMA, my understanding is that all entities that receive public funds to the extent that you use public funds to win this aspect to the field. So, meaning therefore that all the details using public funds are also expected to account in terms of the PSL. There are other institutions that explained by Nashu that also are established by the municipality and they fall under the MFMA. So I think there are those two key pieces of legislation that will always bind that in terms of whether they are private and they have to be profit, I think they will say to you that they don't have to make a law, obviously. And whatever profits that they get, they have to then plow them back to a new project. So then, and those profits are not the kind of material that will be shared to the shareholders. So they are. But that's not exactly what is happening. They are examples of those institutions that have been out there long enough, who are starting to have a problem, who are then developing new programs that relate to social programs in their project. And I think we request some of them to just make those available to the community. In terms of the issues around the resident affairs, let's put it simply, and I think we will have to then go with it, but the committee will need to be able to resolve it. Could you put, you say that you fund and you expect certain things to be done, and then you have to continue giving support so that those things are done, but then if nothing happens, you still have to come back and judge whether that happens. So in a sense, you play in two roles. You give you money, you give your capacity, you give you support. But if you don't perform, then we have to be the ones who are judging you and the ones who are going to act against you. So I think that's what that is going to be at. I'm also taking into account that there are other players. The national department is there, provinces are there, municipalities are there, and other institutions created by the ministry are also there. So I think in that context, we have to make sure that the rules are clarified.
So just a last question. Why do you think, in your opinion, should the FHS remain in status under another body? Together with Shra, do you think there is a role for an organization like Nasha in addition to that? And if so, what sort of role? And I'm sorry, I'm not exactly sure, other than the national association of all these individual bodies. But it would appear that Shra, for example, to some extent, would take over the responsibility to become members of Shra and to register with Shra. Do you see that sort of body still playing a role? And if so, what sort of role?
I think that is clear evidence here, because members have come together to say we seek to belong to a particular organization as members, which would then look after our needs as members. So we have to understand NASHO as a membership based voluntary organization, and there's nothing that is from that. But also internationally, I think there is a lot of similar organizations, federations of social housing institutions that have been formed and that have operated for a number of years. I think the significant thing here is that they all understand the common goal and they work towards the common goal, but also take into account the different needs that they have. So for instance, your regulator will be more concerned about the investment that government is making in the sector and how those are actually being after. And for instance, Federation would look at whether their members are able to live up to the expectations, and if not, what support they would be required to give to their members to be able to comply. So, in a sense, I think it is more complementary. And my opinion, I would say, yes, you would still need to have strong institutions and a strong federation, and quite a robust and well-functioning regulatory regime.
I'm going to just fix my comments to three points of those that have been raised by members. The first is to deal with the issue of referee and player role play. Perhaps we should look at it differently. Absolutely. Referee and policy maker. If you make policy, you have to be able to adjudicate and make sure that policy is implemented in the way you set up and you take that policy. So let's be careful when we're using this interchangeable terms. In my view, my very humble view, I think the bill that is currently formulated takes that on board. It separates the various parts. Then the issue, I think, honourable members are concerned about whether the CFMA and MFM and the EU start. And I think that is a legitimate question. In fact, after last week, we were having an informal discussion with the Office of Fiscal and Legal Advice. Is these institutions that are going to be receiving government grants, in terms of the current formulation of the bill, that form of the institution is left to the institution. It can be a private company, it can be a Section 21 company, and so on and so on. Now, if it's a private company, we have to be very clear what laws of government apply. It will be the Companies Act. So perhaps we should apply our minds a bit more on the form of the institution in terms of how we monitor our money when it's something I saw at this point. And then the last issue, I think, raised by one of the honourable members, the role of an organisation like NASA. Today, we have an organisation called NASA, which was a name. It's a trade union of social housing institutions. And that's something that's formed in terms of their rights enshrined in the Constitution. Tomorrow, we might have 23 other representative bodies. It's not something that either government all parliaments get expressed. It's free. I think it's a free expression. Those are just my three points.
But you haven't answered the question that which something that we need to apply our mind on the issue of reference there. I think the member or the presenter was talking about Shra and social housing foundation. We're saying in terms of the set line that slide. Yeah. If you look in terms of the function of SHRA, the registration and accreditation, compliance and legal intervention and general strategy. That's SHRA. And then if you still look into the social housing foundation continuing programs to serve capacity, or in terms of what you are talking about, the implementation, for the social foundation. The other kind of thing to say, look at those, in terms of this legislation, what will be coming up with two entities, SHRA and SHRA Foundation moving concurrently. But the question is, what Brian did in responding to that? Yes, that might be the case. May not continue being that case. But what you need to apply your mind as members of parliament, whether the entity that we're about to create would be a referee and a player at the same time. So that is issue that was centrally important for us to discuss and to see what extent we can make sure that we come up with a regulatory authority which confines itself in doing exactly that. On the other hand, have an implementation that we need. same and it should do more. I think that's what is being put on the table. And something that the department should take into account, something that we need to take into account and move on.
Madam Chair, very, very quickly, in terms of what Brian has at the table, he intends to put a phase in or phase out. But if we look at the bill and the regulator particularly, we'll see the function of the regulator is no different than other similar institutions created, for example, by the ECR, with the microfinance organization. So what we have in the bill is the accumulative knowledge of other similar institutions. I think the department will answer for itself, but certainly from the minister's office, we have yet to see that new role that Brian is talking about. It would welcome if members, honourable members, could see that new role, certainly we will take it on board. But perhaps, with your permission,
the role of the department is quite clear, and as you can see, those two circles, the green and the pink one, they could be separate or they could be on one another. The way the bill has been written is that the green and the pink circle are on top of one another, and that is the cross. In the implementation and the experience that we've gained in the interim period of implementing the program, the question has come up of, yes, there's a strong regulatory role, and national is even emphasized the bill is very strong on that regulatory and compliance and monitoring element. But when you're implementing, you don't also want to be the one who's implementing and then on the other one side saying you're actually doing this wrong, you must change this, comply with it, and so on. So the interim program is showing that you do need an implementation focus that looks at that detail and rolls out in a specific way and looks at the program. When you regulate, it's a different focus. It's about diagnosing, it's about intervention, it's about much stronger legal actions that are being taken and looked at. So my point is, the way the bill is written at the moment, both of those functions overlap. There was quite a bit of debate this Thursday on structuring the straw so that those two functions can overlap within the same entity, but in the implementation and the experience we've had in the income program, those two circles are actually a little bit separate. And it might be a phasing process that we have the interim phase, another phase, and then a final phase where it could be a complete circle, which might be the solution to the problem. But that's in the implementation that doesn't necessarily then affect the bill per se, because it is provided for in the bill.
Member, let's deal with that for the time being. And look at it in more detail when we get the department and then discuss it further. But I think as it stands, let's leave it at that. I know it doesn't really answer the question that we want. Mm-hmm. It still leaves some ambiguity.
Chair, I just
thought
one question besides the committee on answering this, which is a good question in the department's mind. What is going to be best for the sector and ultimately the objective of what this program wants to do? That will be what should be put on the table ultimately.
Thank you very much. Members, that I think we should relieve. If you are happy with the situation as it stands, we should relieve Brian from the presentation. And we thank you both for that. But the unfortunate part of it, we don't see the person supposed to present after you. Who's supposed to be MHSC. But he's kicked out a certain year. Because he's done with it. are waiting for the other citizens to feel.